It's that time of the week where we speak to the former Leeds United chairman, Ken Bates. And he joins me on the line now for the first time in 2016. So happy new year, KB.
Thank you very much. And to you and to all our listeners and viewers.
Yes, 2016 has kicked off, and we're looking forward to some FA Cup action this weekend. But let's first deal with some transfer speculation regarding Leeds United. Sam Barham's future remains uncertain, of course, with his contract. And Lewis Cook, over the last 24 hours, has been linked with a move to Bournemouth. We've talked many times about the young players at Leeds United being linked with moves away.
Well, I think because the players are so good, it's inevitable that there'll be interest in clubs in the Premiership. But what'll be interesting to see is how Massimo Cirino reacts, because the manager says he wants to sign players to strengthen the team, which obviously is what every fan wants to hear. But it won't be much good if he's signing players he regards will improve the team at one end, and our best young players are going out the other end. Otherwise, it's pointless other than money coming into the club. It depends how that money is spent. So, I think the situation Barham hasn't been handled very well. You know, it's a situation, of course, that if he wants to go and Leeds don't sell him in January, then he'll just walk out at the end of the season and Leeds will get a pittance for him. So it's really whoever handled negotiations hasn't done a very good job. And let's hope it's not too late to redeem the situation. So of course, by this time, Sam may be so set in his mind at the way he's been treated that his attitude may be irreversible. But when you got Player of the Month vote from the fans with such a high percentage, it tells its own story, doesn't it?
Indeed, the fans desperate to keep Sam Barham, but as you said, the way it's been handled has left Leeds in a precarious situation. Sam Barham's contracts, we mentioned, they're running out at the end of the season, and Lewis Cook as well, the link's starting to come for him to move, and he's only got another year on his contract until the end of 2017. So again, these days, clubs do start to think about that, and teams buying are certainly watching that contract situation as the club.
But I'm not sure Lewis, if he's got a good agent, I'm not sure Lewis would want to go to Bournemouth. Because although Bournemouth have done terribly well, it's only a matter of time before they get relegated, I thought. So he'd be going from Championship to Championship. And if he does want to move, then I think he's a Premiership player to be. He should, I'm sure his agent will look after him on that point of view. So there are many interesting. And as we do all this speculation, then we're building up to the Cup on Saturday with Neil Redfern and co again.
Yeah, Neil back. The question remains, will he get a parking space this time round? But it's an interesting game. Obviously, there's been a little bit of bad blood between the two managers since. Neil criticising the Rotherham team, saying it's not good enough to be in the Championship. Steve Evans hitting back at that. And Steve Evans taking Leeds on a bit of a decent run of form. 6 unbeaten in December has led to him getting a Manager of the Month nomination. So interesting going into this one.
Well, it was certainly heightened the atmosphere on Saturday, weren't it? Actually, I was talking to Neil Redfern about the parking space. Thinking, I think that I think it's a bit of a non-event because to start with, you allocate a visiting club so many parking spaces anyway, and they decide who uses them. As I said to Neil, I said, usually it's the manager who goes on the coach with the team, so I think that was a bit of a non-runner. So, just gave me a grin and didn't say very much about it. I think the important thing is to just get to the ground, get the players wired up, and then contribute to what should be an absolute cracking derby. And interesting, I see the forecast is suggesting a draw, so that it will be a good gate, and hopefully it will be a good game. I mean, they were bottom of the league when Neil Redfern took them over. He's now got them, albeit on points, just out of the relegation zone, which Evans left them in. On the other hand, of course, in the meantime, he has got Leeds at least into a comfortable situation. And if the run continues, of course, could even move up into the threaten the playoff places, which could be something that break out of the blue. So all's interesting to look forward to.
Yeah, interesting times on the pitch for both clubs towards the end of the season. On to other matters, and in football, or off the field in football, Eva Carneiro appeared at a first tribunal hearing yesterday, failed to reach a settlement with Chelsea. The fight goes on for Eva now onto the next hearing. But generally, what do you make of this situation? And it rumbles on.
Well, I think that I think it's significant that that case of Eva Carneiro started the same, that came up at the same time as Chelsea started having a really bad patch. And I've never been a great admirer of Mourinho. With the money he's had to spend, I would expect almost anybody to have a good record as far as results are concerned. But where he was totally wrong with this woman, doctor, is what he said that simply wasn't true. His excuse or justification for giving you a mouthful, that's what he did, was it would reduce the team to 9 men. Which is nonsense, because while she was on the pitch, there was no play taking place. That's the first thing. And when they finished giving him the treatment, either he wouldn't be fit to play, in which case he would come off, the Chelsea would be down to 9 men anyway, or he would have been fit to play, and the game would have restarted with 10 men. So either way, what Mourinho said was wrong. But as I remember it, it was the last minute or so of the game anyway. So the game was almost just an impetuous excuse. But the real problem is that I was watching the game actually on TV and I saw the replay. It actually happened. The referee is in charge of the game, not the manager, Mourinho, even though he might think he is, and not the doctor. And when the player went down injured, the referee signalled on, summoned the Chelsea medical staff. Now, interestingly, the Chelsea physio, who's a man, ran on first. And it's only the second time that the referee signalled that the doctor came on. So the male physio came on first, the female doctor came on second. Both on the instructions of the referee. We came off together. So why did Mourinho slag off the girl, or the woman, or the lady, and not say anything to the male physio who ran on first? Now, there can't be any explanation for that. No logical explanation. It all could be resolved so simply, because it could simply have turned back to the doctor and said, "Look, I'm sorry, I was out of order there. Sorry about that. Forget it. Please, the end of it." That'd be the end of the matter. But because Mr. Mourinho believes he's never wrong, that's why all this is blown up about. And everyone has their own view of Mourinho, obviously, because he's such a controversial person. But I have not forgotten nor forgiven him when he lied in the away game at Barcelona a few years back, in his first tenure as manager, when he said he saw the referee go into the home Barcelona dressing room. I later changed it to say he was told that the referee had gone to Barcelona, which of course is against FIFA rules. And the Norwegian referee, got so much abuse, including death threats, that he finally gave up the game. And no game of football is worth that. Fortunately, the lady is clearly very talented. I've no doubt that she will be able to find someone another job. And Chelsea are so rich by Mr. Abramovich, of course, that whatever compensation he gets won't make a dent on his capital. So that it's almost inevitable she'll win. But it's really a question of how much she's going to get. The other interesting thing is she is also suing Mourinho personally. The thing about that is that I understand that the paper reports this morning say that Mourinho will pay £1,000 fine to avoid giving evidence at the tribunal. But he won't be able to avoid it if indeed Eva Canero does sue him first, does proceed with her case against him personally and get him into court, where he will have to give evidence personally or let the thing go by default. Go on. It's always interesting in football and always interesting at Chelsea and Leeds.
And FIFA.
We wait the outcome with interest.
Yeah, we do. And FIFA as well. The latest overnight is that the suspended FIFA vice president Alfredo Howitt has agreed to be extradited to the United States to face charges of corruption. And the FIFA committee recommended that former Secretary General Jerome Valcke should be banned from football for 9 years. That came out yesterday, so that the FIFA crisis continues.
Well, the whole thing is it's a headless chicken, the moment FIFA, isn't it? Whoever there is to run it properly or take control, and that will continue until the election takes place, which you think they pull forward instead of letting it drift on. Meanwhile, letting Mr. Blatter twitch on about nothing in particular. I think the whole thing stinks. I've said it for 20 years. I've argued that all that needs to happen is that the World Cup needs to be run every 4 years. It could be an extension of the European Championships. And part of that, don't need a FIFA. What do we need for anyway? The national associations can run their own affairs. And then it would be good, bad or indifferent. It's no good saying you need FIFA to monitor and supervise the association because they don't do it. Never have. It's simply a money-making organisation, but we don't know where the money goes. But I think what's encouraging is that the sponsors have started flexing their muscles. They should have done it a long time ago, of course. But better late than never. But I think FIFA is in such a mess, it just wants shutting down. The English FA, or the home nations, didn't join FIFA until the 1930s, and at FIFA's request and invitation, so that we don't need them to supervise the FA, nor does any of the other organisations. Just need somebody to run the World Cup, and that is a very, very small organisation, probably about 10 people, including the doorman and the inevitable chauffeur. So let's keep going. And meanwhile, of course, Chuck Blazer, he's no doubt still singing like a canary. All his tapes and recorded conversations and files, which I think this is going to run and run and run.
Another thing that has run and run has been the ongoing incarceration of former Leeds United MD David Haig. Over in the Middle East, the latest with this slander case on Twitter.
Quite clear, Dubai and Bahrain, the two countries involved here. Now, again, reading the details about this, David Hay is allegedly smeared or insulted or libelled GFH on his Twitter account. Now, since David Hay doesn't even have a telephone or a computer, he can't be running he can't have a Twitter account. So therefore, if there is an account in his name, it's been started by somebody else, we're putting things on it in his name. But the interesting thing about it is this. This alleged complaint, or crime, or whatever you want to call it, was allegedly committed in March. So, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. On the 16th of November, David Hay was due to be released and deported. That's on the Monday. On the 13th of November, the Friday, he was rearrested by the police, removed from the jail, and taken to a police station cell. So why did GFH wait, 8 months before making their complaint about the alleged insult? There's another funny thing. Apparently, there was some cock-up in the transport arrangements, so David Hay didn't get to court to hear him being charged or accused. Now, he hasn't been formally charged. Now, because of Christmas, they delayed the hearing till 20th of January. But, you know, Dubai is a Muslim country. They don't celebrate Christmas. So what's that got to do with delaying it for 2 months? The whole thing stinks. And I'm afraid to say, so did Dubai. And it isn't a place that suggests you should do business there, because it's worse than Jersey trying to get justice. And that's saying something. So I'm afraid it looks as if it's simply an attempt shut David up for longer, because of course he knows too much about the GFH workings and knows the full story about the GFH takeover of Leeds United and the things that went on during that. And I think that when that information comes out, GFH will be finished, and it will depend very much on how the governor of the Central Bank of Bahrain attitude is towards GFH. But unfortunately, or fortunately, the managing director, chief executive of GFH, is a son-in-law of the Central Bank, of the governor of the Central Bank of Bahrain. What do you think about it, isn't it? Looking to further things, I see now that the government has now changed education examination dates to suit Ramadan. Muslim students who, I can't understand, we're supposed to be a Christian country. It's supposed to be when you go to a country to live, you're supposed to obey and abide by their rules and regulations. And yet, in England, we do exactly the opposite. I mean, ISIS is winning. They don't need to do bombs and, self-destruction and suicide grenades, that kind of stuff. They're getting it anyway. The English Christian education system is being changed to accommodate Islam. I suppose there is one point that we could do, and that is that people who leave England to go and support or help or fight for ISIS should immediately lose their UK citizenship. The passport should be cancelled. They refuse to be allowed back into the country. Can't have your cake and hate and eat it. Can't have your cake and hate you too. And of course, in many cases, they blow themselves up, so that solves the problem. But we should be taking a much firmer, stronger view. But it's a bit difficult. And Mr. Cameron isn't particularly strong Prime Minister anyway. it's a bit difficult when Britain's own official so-called opposition, led by Mr. Corbyn's branch anyway, of the Labour Party, seems to oppose everything that Britain stands for. Well, England, of course, now these days. And Mrs. Sturgeon, running her oldest colony. By God, she's a lucky woman, isn't she? If she had got that referendum and got independence, well, with all that $37 a gun, they'd be bankrupt. Well, mind you, Scotland is pretty bankrupt now. It's subsidised by the English. Have been for years. Mm-hmm. But moving on to, finally, still about the floods. I mean, this damage, destruction, hardship, heartbreak has happened in Yorkshire and Lancashire and Cumbria. It's terrible. And again, we seem to be half-hearted in our response. The government, not just the late Tory government, the coalition and the Labour government before that, have neglected these defences for years. Now we're reaping the whirlwind. And that, again, it sums up, I think it sums up public life when they drafted a PR announcement, which was approved by the man himself, that said that the head of the flood relief agency, or prevention agency, is working from home, but forgot to mention it was 4,000 miles from London, his London office. And even when he heard about the floods, it took him 3 days to decide to pack up, get a plane back and amble back. Should be sacked. Yeah, the whole lot should be sacked. And the new department set up without the existing civil servants because they failed the people. They failed the people to pay their wages, pay them their gold-plated pensions. It needs some dynamic action. Doesn't seem to be anywhere. Anyway, from one thing to the other, we've got the Chilcot inquiry, which will confirm that Blair is dead by the time it comes out. You've got these dreadful ambulance chasing lawyers who are trying to prosecute soldiers for giving their all to the country they serve. The ordinary people suffering terrible, miserable damage in the north and the west through flooding. Meanwhile, they're debating about the price that members for Parliament have to pay for the meals in the House of Commons. Apparently it's subsidised. Has been for years. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2016. Let's hope we can see. Let's hope that all these crises and serious matters have arisen in all areas over the last month or so. There'll be the call for action, galvanise everything, and they will get out their torpor. And Mr. Cameron and his mob, can't be much more than that, get cracking and get on with it, or get out and let somebody else do it. We deserve better, and particularly so do all the UK citizens, well-behaved UK citizens, living in England, and Wales, and Northern Ireland, and Scotland, if they want to stay.
An interesting year ahead. KB, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sam. And once again, we say, Happy New Year to all our listeners and readers.
Happy New Year, everyone.
And followers.